Have you ever been hated or discriminated against? I have. I've been protested and demonstrated against. Picket signs for my wicked rhymes. Look at the time. Sick is the mind of the motherfucking kid that's behind. All this commotion, emotions run deep. Oceans exploding. Tempers flaring from parents. Yeah, blow them off to keep going. Not taking nothing from no one. Give them hell long as I'm breathing. Keep kicking ass in the morning and taking names in the evening. Leaving with the taste of sour with vinegar in their mouth. See, they can trigger me, but they'll never figure me out. Look at me now, I bet you're probably sick of me now. Ain't you, mama? I'ma make you look so ridiculous now. Sorry, mama, I never meant to hurt you. I never meant to make you cry, but tonight I'm cleaning out my closet.
One more time.
I said I'm sorry, mama, I never meant to hurt you. I never meant to make you cry, but tonight I'm cleaning out my closet. I got some skeletons in my closet, and I don't know if no one knows it. So before they throw me inside my coffin and close it, I'ma expose it. I'll take you back to 73, before I ever had a multi-platinum selling CD. I was a baby, maybe I was just a couple of months. My faggot father must have had his panties up in a bunch, cause he split. I wonder if he even kissed me goodbye. No, I don't, on second thought, I just fucking wish he would die. I look at Haley, and I couldn't picture leaving her side. Even if I hated Kim, I grit my teeth and I try to make it work with her. At least for Haley's sake, I maybe make some mistakes, but I'm only human. But I'm manning up to face him today. What I did was stupid, no doubt it was dumb. But the smartest shit I did was take the bullets out of that gun, cause I'd have killed him. Said I would have shot Kim and them both. It's my life, I'd like to welcome y'all to the Eminem show. I'm sorry, mama, I never meant to hurt you. I never meant to make you cry, but tonight I'm cleaning out my closet.
One more time.
I said I'm sorry, mama, I never meant to hurt you. I never meant to make you cry, but tonight I'm cleaning out my closet.
Nah, I would never diss my own mama just to get recognition. Take a second to listen. Who you think this record is dissing? But put yourself in my position. Just try to envision witnessing your mama popping prescription pills in the kitchen. Bitching that someone's always going through a person shit's missing. Going through public housing systems. Victim of Munchausen syndrome. My whole life I was made to believe I was sick when I wasn't. Till I grew up. Now I grew up. It makes you sick to your stomach, doesn't it? Wasn't it the reason you made that CD for me? Ma, you could try to justify the way you treated me, ma. But guess what, you're getting older now. And it's cold when you're lonely. And Nathan's growing up so quick, he's gonna know that you're phony. And Haley's getting so big now. You just see her, she's beautiful. But you'll never see her, she won't even be at your funeral. See, what hurts me the most is you won't admit you was wrong. Bitch, do your song, keep telling yourself that you was a mom. But how dare you try to take what you didn't help me to get. You selfish bitch, I hope you fucking burn in hell for this shit. Remember when Ronnie died and you said you wished it was me? Well, guess what? I am dead. Dead to you as can be.
I'm sorry, mama. I never meant to hurt you. I never meant to make you cry. But tonight, I'm cleaning out my closet.
One more time.
I said I'm sorry, mama. I never meant to hurt you. I never meant to make you cry. But tonight, I'm cleaning out my closet.
following podcast contains views and thoughts that may not be suitable for younger audiences. Spoiler content will be included in this podcast, so if you do not want to be spoiled, you might want to wait until the podcast hits the archives. Accordingly, the thoughts and views of our hosts or callers do not reflect the views of the Missy AE podcast or any of the Whispers groups.
Hello, everybody, and welcome back to another edition of the Missy AE podcast. Now, I promise to you that this isn't another podcast where we're going to have dirty laundry aired or whatnot. I just felt playing that song was appropriate considering everything that happened during last night's episode. Obviously, of course, I'm not Jim. Unfortunately, Jim informed me earlier today that he wouldn't be able to make tonight's show. So he will be back hopefully next week to chat alongside us, unless, of course, he ends up randomly calling in, which in that case, I'll bring him on. But from what he told me earlier, it sounds like he said he was 99% sure that he would not be calling in tonight, or that he wouldn't be able to call in tonight, I should say. But a quick reminder for those who haven't subscribed yet to the Missy AE podcast, you can do so by going to blogtalkradio.com/MissyAE or by subscribing to any of our major podcast networks like iTunes, Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Amazon Music, and so on and so forth. Also, if you want to join in on the conversation for either reality TV or for sports, you can join the Whispers groups on Facebook by searching Survivor Whispers, Big Brother Whispers, or Sports Whispers. And we will get you in there and join in on all of the talk. So right now we have Melissa and we have JB on the line. We have Tim also in the chat room. And just to start off with, from last night's episode, man, oh man, you know, Sifu, That whole entire drama over somebody writing his name down, who knew that one lone vote would cause such a stir over on the Reba tribe? And that's what we ended up seeing here, with basically Sifu's paranoia now all of a sudden dictating, I guess we could say, what the Reba tribe is potentially going to do moving forward. Bello was apparently, okay, before we talk about Bello, let's just put it out there. This entire episode, it seemed to me, surrounded food. That's all that the main topic seemed to be this week was food. Bello was starving for food. Austin has to choose whether to take food or to take an advantage. It just seems food for this week. Also, we got a little bit of backstory on Jake and how he apparently suffers from binge eating problems. How he weighed 287 pounds at one point before heading out onto the show. So we got a bit of personal content from Jake, which is obviously, you know, for contestants to get personal content, that obviously means it's likely good for them moving forward. We got a little bit of doubt around Keturah at the same time, with her looking for the idol and getting caught by everybody. But seemingly she has formed a duo with Caleb, one of Caleb's multiple duos, I should say. And we saw the one-sided nerd alliance that Brando attempted to create this week with Drew, only for Brando to then be voted out by Drew. this week. So there's a whole bunch of stuff for us to cover. Plus, we got to talk about the journey and just exactly what we would potentially do in that sort of situation. Plus, we'll also take a look as well at the confessional numbers for this past episode. And for once, there was not one single person that didn't have a confessional. Every single person got a confessional this week. So let's start with you, Melissa. Give us a breakdown of what you thought about last night's episode. Did Emily make the right decision by voting out Brando over Drew? What did you think about the journey? Give us your thoughts about last night's episode.
Well, there's a couple of things that I wanted to start off with. Number one, I don't know if anybody else thinks this, but I have to say, I think Jake is faking his faint. I think he's faking. I had a family member who had some mental issues, and they would fake faint. And what they do is very delicately throw themselves to the floor and then say, oh, I mean, careful not to hurt themselves. And then, what happened? Jake did this twice. I think if a person was actually going to faint and they black out, they pass out, he would not be falling on all fours. Okay? And then that shake he does at the end, fake. He's doing it for sympathy. That's just my opinion. I think he's faking it. Because I think that if he had actually passed out and did all of that, we would have seen medic in there. I think during or after any of the competitions that they did, Jeff would definitely be saying, I need to have you looked at by medic. And after he does that, after he fakes the faint and everything, then he's perfectly fine. And he goes out there and those, physical comps, and he performs magically, right? Performs
right.
Great. No problems whatsoever. And quite honestly, if he was that frail, he would have been having problems during the physical comp. That's my opinion. I think he's trying to get sympathy, and I think he's faking his faint.
I'm sorry, go ahead.
No, that's, you can respond.
Well, I was going to say, it does make sense what you said that, all of a sudden he's fine for the challenge and whatnot. And, we have seen it on previous seasons where people do stuff just for the camera. I mean, hell, take a look at what Bruce is doing this season, literally being a jackass for the camera. So,
yeah. Uh-huh.
I think it's definitely possible, but I don't know about that first one, though, because with him almost practically falling into the fire, would he really want to risk putting himself in that much, for him to pull a scoop in, almost?
He was making sure that he was fine. He went over that fire. He had his hands on the other side. And the fire wasn't burning. It was smoking, basically. It wasn't really a big fire at all. And Scoopin', or however you say his name, probably if Jake is the big Survivor fan says he is, that's probably where he got his idea. Okay, so anyway, it is going to be a crapshoot. Okay, so anyway, the second thing that I wanted to say is, I bet you it doesn't happen again because it got brought up that they might have to take him out if this keeps up. So I bet you, look, it won't happen again. Watch. If he thinks it's going to take him out of the game, he's going to quit taking it. Okay, another thing is...
I also found that interesting too, Melissa. The fact that he all of a sudden brought up the potential of being taken out of the game, almost as if medics had tried to go out there, and he had waved them off.
Yeah, I don't know, but I bet you $10 he doesn't do that again. And then the second thing is, why do people make such an issue of other players going to look for idols? They all should be looking for idols. God, why run somebody down? It's like on Big Brother, people saying, oh, my God, he's winning all these comps. We got to get him out, right?
Right.
It's like, they're looking for idols. We got to get him out. Why aren't you looking for an idol? I bet you $10 if Katura had found an idol, you would have been expecting her to use it on you, wouldn't you, if you needed it, right? Or if Katura says, hey, I've got this idol, you're safe tonight, I'll use it on you, you would be perfectly happy that she went out looking for that idol, right? Or how about if you go out and you find yourself a goddamn idol? I mean, why are they all freaking out every time somebody goes to look for a goddamn idol? It's driving me nuts. It's driving me insane.
I think the reason being, Melissa, is because usually up until the merge, it's kind of like how it is with Big Brother. Up until jury, everybody is waiting or everybody is looking for the littlest thing to make somebody else a target so that it's not themselves.
Yeah, whatever. But you know what? Kelly was one of my favorites, and she lost me last night. She really did. Making such a stink about it. Yeah. So anyway. Okay, I watched the show twice, and I don't know what happened, but I am still in a fog as to how the heck that vote went down.
Yeah, it's kind of odd because they didn't really – the only thing that they showed the last thing that we had seen specifically from Emily was that she was still in the middle, but yet – the last thing we were actually shown of her was her being told about the advantage by Austin. I think the Survivor editors wanted people to think that, okay, Emily was swayed because of Austin revealing that information. And that's why she voted the way she did.
Mm-hmm. I don't know. I'm just glad. I don't know. Sometimes I'm thinking they should have just got rid of Drew because he is so cocky. But I don't know. I really don't.
Well, let's go over to JB. JB, you didn't have it, or you didn't have the opportunity, I don't think, to watch the episode last night. Did you get the chance to watch it today?
Yes, I did.
So, what? Give us a rundown about everything that we brought up. Sifu doing what he did. The whole idol search. The Nerd Alliance that was completely one-sided. Emily finding herself in the middle again. Everything that happened on the journey. Give us a breakdown of what you thought about last night.
Well, when I turned it on, all I hear is Sifu wondering who the heck, voted for him. And it's like, man,
Taylor,
you got you're still in the game. Why worry about who is, voting for you? If you're going to worry about that so much, then watching him, ask around and everything like that, that's one of the reasons that he leaves so early. And I seem to think that he might go next week. As far as Jake, at first I thought, you know what, something's wrong here. I don't know why they didn't get the medical to, see what's going on. And then when Melissa brought that up, that, it was that he was just faking it, I thought, maybe that's right. Because if, in fact, he did do that, you would have seen medical come in. And we didn't even see medical. He did mention, that something like, he's all right and everything like that. And I thought, you know what? If something really is happening to you like that, he's saying, oh, I'm all right, to stay in the game. If something really is happening with you, I would think that medical would want to look at what's going on and see if something is going on.
She's throwing it.
And the other thing about the journey, if I was on the journey, I probably would have gone over. I would have made the same remark as Austin did. Oh man, look at them sandwiches! Oh, and well, you gotta make it. It has to be a Oh, how did they say it? It had to be unanimous on what they did. So if two people wanted to say, we are going to, eat sandwiches, that would have overridden what's her face? She didn't even want to go for sandwiches. She was just worried about that little necklace or whatever it was. And I thought, man, if I was Austin, I'd be saying, well, okay, I'll go in with you. I told my wife last night, I said, if I was Austin, what I would have done is I would have gone over to those sandwiches. I would have gotten like about 3 or 4 pieces of meat, and I would have stuck them in my mouth. I don't care what anybody would have said. It's like, hey, I'm hungry. I'm going to get something to eat. If you don't like it, that's just tough shit.
Well, it had to be 2 out of 3, so that's the problem.
Yeah, but what are they going to do? What would they have done if Austin would have walked over to the sandwich and maybe pulled out a couple pieces of meat?
Well, they wouldn't have allowed it, and he probably would have been penalized in some way or fashion.
Because
you can only have one or the other. You can't have both, JB.
To me, I think some of these, I think some of these survivor rules are made by,
they're made by a bunch of.
Oh, yeah.
Jane.
But
we're watching Big Brother at the same time as doing the podcast, in case people are wondering what is going on.
Bowie Jane is the head of household.
But continue on, JB.
But I was telling my wife, I said, if I was that hungry, I would have just gone over to the sandwich. I would have maybe gotten a couple pieces of meat. They don't have to be real big pieces. I would have just gotten a couple pieces of meat and, stuck them in my mouth. And it's like, really, the only person that is close to Austin would have been a cameraman. And it's like, what would he have done? He probably would have filmed it. And I don't really see, I wouldn't have seen anything wrong with that. Survivor people probably would have, people there, they probably would have been, we can't have that happen. We got to, we got to do something about this. But if he was...
He could have got himself DQ'd.
If he was... they can't disqualify you for something like that.
Yeah. The problem is with when they're presented an option like they were out on the island, you can either take the food or you can go for the advantage. Literally, I guarantee you, almost every time we would end up seeing what we saw this past episode. People will will easily take an advantage over food. The only thing is that now, obviously, that advantage only gains power once more people are eliminated.
Right.
Where it's with three remaining, you get an extra vote. With two, well, actually, I don't know. Does it really gain more power? Because three is an extra vote, two is steal a vote, and one acts as an idol.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so, I guess you could say it gains more power.
Gains more power the second time, but I don't think the third time.
Yeah, it does.
You don't think an idol is better than a steal a vote?
I would rather, I guess if there's two left, can both steal a vote? I'm wondering.
It can only be used by one person if two are left. So the steal a vote would only count towards one person. Which is the same as the extra vote as well, with three people.
Mm-hmm.
I would have just played my idol. If I knew that I was on the chopping block, I would have used that one that I got and used it as an idol. The heck with, two and three. If my name was coming up, let's say if Austin knew that he was, if his name was, going around, if I was Austin, I would have played mine. The heck with the two and three, could he have played it last night or not?
I think you mean the advantage that he got on the journey?
Yes.
I think they have to wait until the merge officially.
Oh, okay.
Technically, it could be considered active this upcoming week, even though it's considered to be mergatory, which isn't the real merge. This upcoming week is considered to be when they hit mergatory. So I think it will be active officially this upcoming week. The thing that Austin did last night, though, was that he chose not to use the original immunity idol that he found so that it would gain power. And then he used the goodwill advantage that was given to him by, I think it was Caleb, that gave him the goodwill advantage. Or maybe he gave Drew the goodwill advantage that Drew then gave to Austin. I forget. But basically, my understanding is he couldn't have used that extra vote, even if he wanted to, because the other
they have to be
members
used together.
Of that, yeah. Exactly. That all three amulets have to be used together.
Now, considering I do believe that there's going to be at least two more evictions coming up, and the mergatory one, I think, I don't know, could that be when Jemiah goes?
I think the one that gets voted off next week is not the first juror.
No, it isn't. It would be, if it serves me correctly, they said there's 13 left, right?
I think so.
Yeah. But I also think that there was going to, last week it was said that there would be three more boots before the merge. And Jemiah does not make the merge, and she's the last one to be voted out. So next week there's a boot, and then the following week, unless they do two boots next week, I would think it's the week after.
I'll tell you one thing.
When they merge.
I do think that the editing does support a Jemiah boot before a Sifu boot.
You think?
Because I think so, based off of what we got from D, the fact that D had a conversation with Julie, and they decided maybe the Sifu thing isn't a fight that they don't have to have. And instead they could take the easy route and just vote Jemiah out if they go to tribal. And also I think they're also taking into account as well that, you know, obviously at the time they were taking into account that they needed to keep the tribe strong. So if they were to have lost last night, maybe perhaps they would have voted for Jemiah to give Sifu one last shot just in case the merge wasn't close. Now, with there being 13 people left, and we're going to have Mergatory next week, I don't know, because, you know, I don't think the jury would start next week because of the fact that it would be a jury of 10 with a final three. So obviously there's one more boot there, and then I'm not even that convinced that there would be a jury of 9, because we have had a jury of 8 before on Survivor. I wouldn't be all that convinced at all that there's a jury of 9. So I wouldn't be surprised if Sifu does officially make the merge officially, like he gets the merge, he gets his merge buff and everything, but he ends up being that merge boot because he's been painted as such a strong physical threat by the edit.
Something I would like to see come back is a final two and 9 jurors. That way you don't have any way there's no you can't even think of a tie.
And I mean, they could do, when you think about it, they could do a final, they could do a jury of 8 this season. And if there was the possibility, you know, that they, that the final vote ends up in a tie, they could always have it where that whoever has the least amount of votes of the final three would then become that final juror, would become that 9th and final juror. I mean, they have done that before, so it's possible that they could just do that.
Did that boy go?
Because you know, if what Jim has been told is correct, that both Sifu and Jemiah are pre-merge, or pre-merge, but I think I almost wonder if it was meant to be called pre-jury, because the way things set up right now, I don't think it's likely that it's going to be, they'll do the mergatory and then they'll go back into tribes for another vote. I don't think they'll do that. Just based off of recent seasons, they haven't done it like that.
I'd just rather see it 9 jurors and the final 2. Just like they did, you know, long time ago. And you don't have to worry about no ties or anything like that, because I know that one season there was a tie, and I forget what they did.
What they did was they had the third juror, or they had the third finalist become the final juror and cast their vote right there at tribal council.
Okay.
It was the Dominic and Wendell season.
Me, I'd just rather see 9 jurors and 2 final, you know, and a final 2. Then you don't have to worry about all this other crap.
I mean, I'm just going based off of the edit that we've been given.
Right.
The fact that everybody was fully in on Sifu, then that whole entire chaos happens with Sean. Sifu then, and the thing too is that Jemiah really pushed a Sifu vote. Before they ended up voting Sean, Jemiah was the one that was really pushing the Sifu vote. So I think that what the edit is trying to show us is that, and I could be wrong, I think what the edit is trying to show us is that eventually Dee and Julie would turn on Jemiah. I wouldn't be surprised if they end up telling Sifu that Jemiah was originally the one behind him potentially going home. But with the merge or mergatory officially happening next week, it sounds like old Reba is going to form back together again. Or at least Austin, Dee, Drew, and Julie will form a foursome. Just based off of what we were shown on the next time on Survivor preview. Basically, what it seems to show is that, you know, they even kind of disguised it a little bit last night when Emily was making her decision, saying that she was going to piss off one side. Either it would be the OG Reba, either OG Reba, or she would piss off OG Bello. And I think that's the storyline that we're going to see moving forward here, is that basically, the 2 surviving members of Lulu are basically free agents. And Caleb and Emily have to decide, do we go with Reba or do we go with Lulu? Or not Lulu, do we go with Bello? And the reason why I say this is because Bruce – in the next time on Survivor Preview, he said to Caleb that Caleb is the one that has all of the power at this point. So, I mean, what do you take off of that, Melissa? Does it seem like we're looking at potentially a battle between two original OG tribes at Mergatory here, or do you think that there is still some sort of blending with the tribe swap tribes?
You know, I don't know. I expect that D and Julie will still be with Austin and Drew. I think that's pretty strong. As far, you know, I just don't know, Steve. I think that obviously at some point, I can see Jake and Keturah forming something with some of the other people, maybe Austin and Drew and them.
Yeah, it just seems weird right now that when you look at Emily's decision, Emily was very central in her confessional by basically saying that it's going to be either I'm going to piss off either original Bello or original Reba with my decision. And it almost seems like the edit was setting up the audience for some sort of storyline that's going to emerge from that vote.
Yeah.
JB, what are your thoughts on that? Do you think that we're looking potentially at a split between Reba and Bello at Mergatory coming up next week, and that basically the two surviving Lulu members hold all the cards?
The only one that I don't see holding all the cards, I see Caleb. I see him coming out stronger than Emily. I can't see Emily finding any kind of what do you call it? Trying to think of that easy word. I'm trying to grab it, and it's I can't. It's right on the tip of my tongue, and I can't. it was right there. Oh, dang. That's this damn old age shit. Damn.
Just a quick update for Big Brother fans. Just a little teaser for what we're going to talk about tomorrow night. This may be the first double eviction in the years where everything goes as scheduled. Well, besides the HOH winner. But anyways, with Survivor here, I did get a graphic from Jim. You know, the whole entire thing when it comes to confessionals, that, you know, usually whoever has a huge spike in confessionals may potentially be in danger. I'm telling you right now, Sifu and Jemaya's confessionals did rise up by one this week. Jemaya had 4, Sifu had 3. And Brando, after having back-to-back weeks of no confessionals, all of a sudden had 5 confessionals this week. And he ended up getting the boot. However,
bye, Felicia.
We take a look at some of the other stats, though, are pretty interesting, because Emily stayed consistent with her 7, so it's likely that she's not in trouble. Kelly went from 3 to 6, as did Keturah from 4 to 6. Austin went from 2 to 9, but I think that's mainly because Austin had a huge central role in this this week's episode. Kendra went from 0 to 6, which I thought was pretty interesting. But then again, like I said, could also be because she had a central role in this episode, being blindsided by Emily. So just to give the official tally for confessionals this week, Emily stayed consistent at 7. Caleb went down from 7 to 3. Drew went up from 2 to 4. Austin went up from 2 to 9. Dee stayed consistent at 3. Keturah went up from 4 to 6. Kelly went up from 3 to 6. Kendra went up from 0 to 6. Jake and Julie both stayed consistent at 2 confessionals. Bruce went down from 2 to 1. Jemaya went from 3 to 4, and Sifu went from 2 to 3. And of course, Brando went from 0 to 5, which, clear indicator, you know, obviously you're going to get a lot of time during your boot episode. So, all right, let's start with you, Melissa. Is there really anything that we can take from this confessional guideline here? I mean, we've looked at confessionals previously in the past, and it seemed to have shown a pattern, but is there really much of a pattern to look at here this season?
I don't know. Steve, I got to be honest with you. I didn't hear a word he said. I was too busy watching this flipping episode. I'm sorry. But now that it's over, you got my attention 100%. But you know what? If the indications, if the confessional thing was spot on for the last couple of seasons, I'm going to guess it's spot on this season too, right?
Well, I mean, it just seems odd because we went from, normally we go, when we're looking at confessional counts, usually when there's one or two people that have a huge rise in confessionals, usually that means that they're in trouble, potentially. However, we only saw a confessional rise of only one between both Sifu and Jemiah. Sifu had three, Jemiah had four. But meanwhile, you saw somebody like Kendra go from zero all the way up to six this week. So it's kind of confusing. Hmm. I think maybe it's because of the 90-minute episodes that maybe the confessional theory could potentially get thrown out the window.
Yeah. That is a possibility. Because they have to fill up that time with something, right? So.
Yeah.
Has it said, given it by week, since the season started this year, or since the season started?
Oh, yeah.
I don't have actually, that visual in front of me, so.
Yeah, actually, you know what? Let me do this real quick. Let me that chart and let me post it in Survivor Whispers right now. I'll post it in Survivor Whispers and I'll post it in Premiere as well. Where is it? Here we go. There's there, and I'll get it over to Premiere. I just posted it now, so you can take a look at it now. But that is right now where the confessionals stand up to this point, where so far through five episodes, Emily leads the way with 32, Caleb with 28, or, yeah, that is 28. Drew with 23, Austin with 22, Dee and Keturah both with 17, Kelly with 16, Kendra with 15, and a huge chunk of them came from this past episode. The same with Kelly as well. Jake with 12, Julie with 10, Bruce, Jemiah, and Sifu all with 9.
Okay, wait. They've all, okay, I'm confused. When it says 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 across the top.
That means the episode number.
Okay, all right. So, Sabaya had the most the week before she was voted out.
I'm almost thinking, Melissa, that maybe perhaps the confessional theory can get thrown out the window potentially.
Yeah. But it seemed to be kind of spot on, because before we were guessing the number of confessionals in one episode indicated who might be going home the next episode, correct?
Correct. Yeah.
So in essence, for Sabaya's, it worked.
It's depending on how big of a jump they went. Like, for example, Brando had two straight zero confessional episodes, and then he all of a sudden had five last night out of the blue.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But the thing is that the edit supports a Jemiah or Sifu boot the next 2 weeks. But yet you take a look at their confessionals, you take a look at the confessional count, and you have people like Austin, Emily, Keturah, Kelly, Kendra, specifically Kendra, who went from 0 to 6 this week, all with rising confessional counts. And yet you have Jemiah mm-hmm. and Sifu, who only have 4 and 3.
Yeah. Austin's concerning. But the information I have doesn't support that.
Well, you know what? Let's bring in Reggie and let's get her thoughts on that, plus everything that we saw last night. How are you doing tonight, Reggie?
I'm doing okay. I just could not multitask tonight for some reason. It's just like, oh my God.
Oh, honey, you know, typically, I'm telling you, typically I will just not even watch the episode, and I'll for a Big Brother while I'm on the pod for Survivor, but I normally can't get the links to work.
Oh,
and
man.
Tonight, for some reason, it worked for me. I was shook.
Good.
I couldn't believe it. Okay. So, but because it was a double eviction, I was really, really curious. I thought for sure Felicia was going to go home. I thought for sure she was going to go home.
I wish she would have, and then America would have gotten HOH and put Jag and Matt up. That would have, I would have loved that. Just to shake up the
I'm not sure she would have put up Matt. I think maybe she would have put up Jag and Bowie. Well,
Bowie, I wish would go
I don't
up
know.
And go out. I'm so over her. I've never cared for her. I don't know why. Maybe it's the teeth. Maybe it's the shouting. I don't know.
Well, I think we'll talk about that tomorrow night, but
yeah,
I was just agreeing with you that I couldn't help but watch that episode. I'm sorry. But
yeah,
now it's over.
I hung up. I was like, I can't do this tonight.
Uh-huh. I'm 100% in on Survivor right now. So
what am I answering here? You asked me a question, Dave?
We've been discussing the confessional theory, you know, like we've had in recent seasons, where normally we would be able to point out a certain part of the confessional counts where there would be a pattern that all of a sudden you look at it and you go, oh, okay, now I know who's leaving next episode.
Uh-huh.
And right now it doesn't really support what we're seeing on the confessional count. It doesn't really support because right now if you go based off of the thing that I posted in Survivor Whispers, it's basically telling you that Kendra will be voted out next week, with her all of a sudden having a huge spike of 6 confessionals compared to the 0 confessionals that she had last week. And yet the edit seems to support that the next, not just that, but also the information that we have, seems to support that the next 2 booths will be Sifu and Jemiah. But the confessional count doesn't really support it, considering they only had a rise of 1 confessional apiece, with Jemiah having 4 compared to last week, and Sifu having 3. So we're trying to make sense of, does the 90-minute episodes now negate the confessional theory, or do we think that the confessional theory is still something to go off of?
Well, I think that just I don't really pay that much attention to the confessional things, but I guess I should. Maybe I will start now that you're pointing all this out. But I just, you know, they're doing all different challenges and stuff. So maybe they're just upping that too. Maybe they're giving the losers more time, airtime.
Well, yeah, that has been something that they've done the past couple of seasons, where literally you do not see anybody from the winning tribes after the challenge. It's usually spent completely on the losing tribe, with the exception of the journey. Sometimes the journey takes place after the challenge. But let's get your thoughts, Reggie, on everything we saw last night. Let's see. Let me get my thing out. The one-sided nerd alliance that Brando tried to form
goofy.
With Drew.
That was goofy.
Sifu, you know, Sifu being all pissed off at the fact that he got only one that he got one vote against him last tribal. And him trying to trick one of the other Rebas into admitting that they voted for him. The journey decision between whether or not to take food or to take strategy. Emily being caught in the middle, and also not to mention for next week on Survivor. We were talking about the possibility that Caleb and Emily might hold all the cards with the potential of the Mergatory episode next week turning into a battle between the original Bello and Reba tribes. So
aren't
give us your thoughts on everything from last night.
Aren't they merging a little earlier than normal? I thought it was a little earlier, but anyway, that's neither here nor there. Sifu being angry, it was like, shut up, dude. You're on Survivor. You should be glad you got just one vote and not voted out. Because
right.
They will remember his attitude. They will remember him,
mm-hmm.
you know, being ugly. They will...
Yep.
And they will remember him trying to get people to admit that they voted for him. You know, it's not, you know, Sifu, you've got to keep your mouth shut. So, and as far as the food or that advantage thing, that it was stupid. Eat that food. That advantage ain't going to be until way down the line. You know, and if you keep holding on to it and holding on to it, I don't know. That was the most, I guess I'm still confused about why they even have that advantage, because somebody is hoping that each of them are hoping the other two get voted out. So they got an
mm-hmm.
idol. Let's just go find a damn idol. But then again, everybody is so suspicious this year, it seems like, that nobody can even go to the bathroom, I don't think, unless they're finding an idol. You know, it's like, let them look. Everybody has the same opportunity. So, yeah, I would have taken food. I would have held off for that. Because they could, you know, when they get to the merge, they could still team up the three of them, you know, and still have power. Is my thoughts. What other question did you have, Dave?
What did you think about Emily once again being caught in the middle of two different tribe alliances and having to decide between either sending Drew home or sending Brando home. And also not to mention as well that it's possible based off of the next time on Survivor recap that both her and Caleb may very well decide who goes home next week.
I actually think that's in a good position to be in. I don't know why I think that way. I would love to be able to have that. My deciding vote would be who would be going home. As far as Brando or Drew, I think they picked the correct person. Brando, to me, you know, I don't know. What did he do? I never warmed up. I didn't see a lot of him, I guess, you know. I don't know. I just think Brando needed to go home. Over Drew.
Well, you know, it actually says here that he apparently received a tribe swap advantage. But
yeah.
Apparently it wasn't shown, but it says here that, wait a minute, let me try and find it.
Yeah,
I didn't read the article.
Okay, I know. I watched him explain it. He said
okay.
that when they all got their new buff, that he pulled his out and he realized that something was stiff in his buff. And he looked and he saw that there was parchment with writing on it. And he was like, oh, my God, an advantage, blah, blah, blah. And he put it in his pocket and thought he was going to look at it later. But when they all got back to camp, they came and asked him to take a walk. And when he did, he says, I bet you this is about the advantage I just got. And he handed it to them, and that was the last he saw of it. So we don't know exactly what it was, but we're thinking that it could have been something like you can switch with somebody to go to another tribe, or you can switch to people on, bring somebody over, you know, switch somebody from your tribe to another, for another person that you want on your tribe. They're thinking that that's kind of along the lines of what it was, the advantage.
Hmm.
But it, in order to have that to have gone into play, he would have had to have read it on the mat when he found it.
Oh, wow.
And
so,
because
I mean,
he didn't,
that could have been something that could have gone in his favor.
Well, yeah. So, but he had no idea. He had no idea. He thought it was an advantage for himself or to look at later. He didn't realize it could be an advantage on the mat right there. So,
see, if I felt something in my buff, even, you know, because they got to give you time to go to the restroom. Where do they go potty at anyway? Just out in the elements, or do they have an outhouse?
Out
in the elements, actually.
But you get
yep.
privacy, right?
Kind of.
Well, I would have read it then. I would have said, I've really got to go to the bathroom now, and went and read it. But, of course, I'm thinking that now, and I'm not in the elements, and I'm not in the situation that he was in, you know. But, yeah, it's
mm-hmm.
like, good Lord, if you have something that, and you know it's important if you get it. You know it's stuck in a buff and nobody else got one, you're thinking, you know, because you've seen Survivor all that time and, like, they have them under plates or they have it in food, you know, when you get a food reward. So
mm-hmm.
I'm surprised he didn't do that, you know. But golly, they got us. Oh, icky! I would not like to go potty in the elements. How do you balance yourself? Aren't you afraid a snake's going to bite your butt?
I mean, why do you think that was the big thing last season where what's his name was like, oh, I want to be able to go poo in the ocean.
Yeah, Jim Jam.
I never caught on to that. I never put,
yeah, I mean,
I just thought that was gross that
yeah.
he said that, you know, hurting
yeah.
the environment, hurting the water, maybe killing fish. I never, ever see thought, oh, he wants to go potty in the ocean so nobody sees him. But how are these women going, oh, icky. Oh, I never want to be on Survivor because it's, oh, icky. Okay, never mind. Carry on. I'm sorry.
I hear you. I'd take Big Brother over that any day.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Yeah. So one thing that you missed I had talked about when we first started was Jake. Jake and his passing out.
That
and I said, I think he's faking it.
Really?
Yes.
Why? I never thought of that.
Okay. So the first time he did it, and it, you know, like Steve has pointed out, he says, well, he wouldn't put himself in danger like that if he's faking it. He almost did like a scooping. And I'm like, well, that's probably where he got the idea. But anyway, when he fell, he made sure his hands were on the other side of that fireplace or the fire. And the fire wasn't really burning high. And so when he fell and he did this jerk thing, and then he got up right away and said, everything's fine, I'm fine, blah, blah, blah. Well, then last night when he did it, he did the same damn thing. Now, if it were me and I got up, maybe had gotten up too fast or whatever, and I passed out, I'd be hitting that ground so hard that he went down on all fours, and then he started jerking. And then was like, whoa, what happened? Please.
Well, you do that, what happened again? That was so cute. What happened?
Oh, my Lanta. I mean, come on. If they're going to, it's like I was telling them, I had a family member who had some mental issues. And they would fake things. And they would gently fall to the floor, making sure they didn't hurt themselves.
Uh-huh.
They actually, at one point, put themselves up against a wall and just kind of slid down the wall and then went, boop, over onto their side, right?
Yeah.
So, yeah, I've seen the fake face. I think he was faking. And on top of that, you would think that since that was the second time it happened, medics would be all over that. Or at least Probst would have said, Jake, you need to get seen by the medics before you go back to camp. And then Steve said, well, it's possible that they did send medics out, and he realized, uh-oh, right? They're going to pull him from the game. I bet you he doesn't faint again. On top of that, he's completely fine after the episode. And he goes out into these physical competitions with no problem. Right?
Yeah.
And when you think about it, too, they had to find some sort of way to explain why he's been fainting all the time And then they give him that personal content of him having got had a problem with binge eating like 2 years ago or something. Yeah.
Yeah, and then his fake tears.
So
who's fucking who?
I wonder if that was. Because I mean, it would be completely weird for them to put that in the episode of him fainting again, without providing some sort of context. Like, especially if, because I mean, obviously, you know, if the medics had to come out, they probably would, especially for him fainting like he has. You would think that they would have showed the medics coming out.
Exactly.
Well, they do it every other time, so I agree with you on that.
I think he was faking. I think he's doing it for sympathy.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Well, it may backfire on him because that one girl, what's her name, says, you know, he's a danger, you know, let's get him out because he's not healthy. He's not going to help us win. I don't remember who that
right.
was.
I don't know, but I can bet you he doesn't faint again. That's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
Watch for it. I bet you he doesn't do it again. I think he's faking it. And now that he thinks that they're either going to vote him out or the medics will take him out, he won't do it again. He won't. He's not going to do it again.
I do find it kind of interesting that you brought that up, though, because normally they would have had... Normally, for any kind of health incident or health scare, they would usually have the medics come out, no matter no matter how minor it might have been.
Yep, I think they knew that he was faking. I think he may have told them ahead of time what he was going to do.
So, I mean, that does kind of make you wonder a little bit.
Because
It also, at the same time, it allowed them to provide him a little bit of personal content by him talking about his issues that he had with binge eating.
Mm-hmm.
Which, I mean, with what Jim has told us on here, that he is a member of the Final Three. Obviously they had to provide something apart from him being a lawyer. They had to provide some sort of personal content, and that was his personal content for the season, I think.
Well, I know a lot of people
trying to get.
Go ahead, Melissa.
No, just to get sympathy. Go ahead.
Well, I was going to say, you know, you said about personal content and they're going through his life and his binge eating. Well, they did it with several other people, too, about their lives. This 90 minutes to me is wasteful. Give me 60 minutes. Get to the program. Like last night, it seemed like the first 35 minutes was nothing but, the people talking in the tribes. Talk and then, you know, having individual people shown their personal and blah, blah, blah. I don't need to see all that. Just get to the challenges. Let's get it done. Is it just me that way?
Well, a lot of people will say we like being able to get to know the players a little better through their confessionals, et cetera, et cetera.
On Facebook and friend them. We don't need to see all that. That's just filler. That's CBS.
Mm-hmm.
I said something on the thread about CBS is the only one with, you know, no wonder CBS's ratings are up so high because they're the only one with new content, you know, except for now the late night shows can be on. But with the reality TV, they've got Big Brother, they've got Amazing Race, and they also have Survivor. So, of course, they're going to, you know, they're putting crap in that they normally have on the cutting room floor because they want to grab the audience and keep them. But Amazing Race is okay, but Survivor just seems to drag on and on. I think, anyway.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I mean, I did kind of get that sense that maybe there are some portions that drag on, but like I've said, normally you get some sort of personal content for the final three, regardless of who is in it. You get some sort of personal content, and I think that might have been their way of providing that personal content for Jake, with him, you know, having, who knows, maybe that whole him fainting stuff was a way to just set it up, basically. Maybe it was, like we're speculating that maybe it was planned. But at the same time, how would they know that he would be in the final three at that time? So,
well, they just, yeah. I don't know. I think it was him. I think it was him trying to gain sympathy. I don't know. I think it was all him. I don't think that the powers that be made him do something like that.
Mm-hmm.
I think he did it on his own.
I wouldn't say it would be all on the powers that be, but you know how we've talked about it before, that there are some people that actually go on there to play the game, and there are some people that basically compete to try and get back on the show, you know, to be asked back.
Instead of utilizing when they are actually on the show to prove something, well, maybe if I act this way, they'll have me back.
Right. Kind of like
Well, what about this time? You're on right now. Can't you play to win? Why don't you do it now while you have the chance? Because being asked back isn't guaranteed. I don't know.
But
I think that Bruce needs to go. Bruce is acting like a total idiot.
I just keep wanting to shout
out.
How old are we? Seafood. Is it seafood?
Seafood.
Seafood.
F-U. Yeah, seafood.
Well, thank you, Melissa. Okay.
Like,
or are you
like
hungry, or
seafood at you.
Seafood all of a sudden.
Huh?
Or are you hungry for seafood all of a sudden?
Well, no, it's too late at night. I don't eat this late. Well, maybe if I had shrimp on night or crabs. I would like some seafood. Thank you, Steve. Will you just send me down some? What state are you in?
Well, he's in a state that's known for their seafood, Massachusetts.
Oh, yeah. Would you just overnight me down some, please? Thank you. Well,
sure, it might be spoiled by the time it gets there, but...
No, not if you overnight it and pack it on dry ice. You're good. But then again, I
sure,
could go...
Oh, sure, there's dry ice everywhere here. I'll go and search for the nearest dry ice place.
You don't have them.
You just
in the
go to the ice cream shop. Go to the ice cream shop.
You don't have them in the grocery yet? In the up in Omaha, they had it at Hy-Vee. They had a dry ice freezer, and you just picked out what you wanted, and then they weighed it, and that's what you got.
Oh,
and down
no,
here,
I haven't heard of the dry ice freezers around here.
Well then,
no,
well,
I don't know.
We
used
to
be
South
able to just
Hollywood.
Go up to the ice cream shop, go up to Baskin Robbins and ask them for a piece of dry ice. and they'll give you some.
I'll just go to South Padre Island and get my seafood then. I'm not too far from there.
Oh, you know what? Here's a question that I could ask, actually. What does everybody think about Jemiah offering herself to be the decoy boot?
Oh, my God. Is she crazy?
Yeah. That's my exact thought. Carry on, Melissa. You can talk for me.
I have never heard anything so stupid. This is probably why she's going to be evicted soon. Oh, my God.
But she is a cute little thing. I mean, I don't mind her much.
Well, the problem I have with her is that the main reason why she's on this show is to get followers.
What?
She was in law school. She was in law school. Her parents worked their butts off to send this girl to school for law, and she dropped out to become a singer-songwriter.
Oh, boy.
And one of the reasons why she's doing Survivor is to gain presence, to gain followers.
Wow.
To gain fans, to start her career. Yep.
I mean, Melissa, you know, just what do you think about that, though? The fact that, you know, she, if you're out there, how the hell do you offer to be the decoy boot?
It's what basically what she did was say, I will tell Fufu that I was the one who wrote his name down, right? And then
right.
Maybe that way they can set it up to where he thinks she will be voted out and he won't use his idol and they'll all vote him out.
Yeah, but then we
that
saw
was what
what we saw afterwards, though, that they then said, why should we fight a fight that we don't need to fight? Why don't we just vote out Jemiah?
Right.
I mean, she basically put that thought into their heads herself.
Right. But I was just telling you what, in her mind, what was going through her mind is that she
right.
thought that if she did that, they could trick Safu into not using his idol, if he had one, and then they would just vote him out.
By the way, that was a
that's
pretty
what was
good,
in her head.
I don't know about you guys, but that was a pretty good-looking fake idol, I thought.
I was looking at it thinking, what the hell? Wait, what? I didn't even see it. Of course, maybe I wasn't looking at it close enough, but yeah.
JB, what are your thoughts on Jemiah offering herself up as a potential decoy last night?
Mute yourself, Jimmy.
Oh, wait a minute. Hang on.
No.
Hang on. I'm sorry. I didn't realize that he had dropped. JB, you're back on.
Okay. That's a part that I did not see. I guess I'm like Melissa, where she didn't see Sifu's, fake idol. I didn't see where Jemiah offered herself to be a decoy. I'll have to watch it again.
JB, isn't that just asking for trouble though? If you're offering to be the decoy boot, you're basically putting that thought then into their minds that, well, hey, you know what? Maybe we could potentially just take her out instead of taking out Sifu, like just exactly what D mentioned to Julie last night.
Yeah, if you want to be a decoy, hey, we'll just vote you off, and you can really be a decoy then.
Well, exactly. That's the point I'm saying is that, you know,
yeah,
she basically just gave them another option.
And I hate to say this, Reggie, but Jemiah, I don't know. She even looks, I don't know. She just looks weird.
What?
Yeah. I don't know. It might be that, you know, little girly face and those, you know, big eyes and everything like that, but she just looks like she looks like she's going to leave. And if I was Austin, there's no way I would have said, well, you know, I guess I'll go along with them. And, man, I would have been arguing. I would have said, I want to eat those sandwiches. The hell with those idols. That's what I would have said to those other two.
Oh, I know. That just was ridiculous.
I mean, I guess I'm just the only one in a lonely boat here. When I see the opportunity to get any sort of advantage, even if it means I have to do something later on in order to increase that power, I'm sorry. If I see an advantage out there, now granted the others would have that opportunity too, I'm going to take it. But then again, we're not out there. We're not actually out there playing the game.
Right. Plus, was Austin really as hungry as he said he was? We don't know.
Well, considering that they had just won some fish before they went on that journey.
Right.
So when he gets back, they're going to have fish to eat.
And it didn't even show him making any fish.
Well, yeah, they don't really do that anymore, though, JB. They don't really do that anymore.
I mean, they have the time. Maybe they have the time to talk about, you know, personal stuff.
You know, though, there is one other thing that caught my eye from that whole entire thing is the fact that Austin, it almost seemed like they were setting up the narrative that Austin will be the reason why Kelly and Jemiah are both voted out. because they robbed him of getting food, and instead they wanted the advantage. And he even said that that they would be, or wait a minute, that he would vow to take them out, all because they robbed him of getting a sandwich.
So
I'm wondering if that's another storyline.
I think he was kind of sort of kidding.
I still would have reached over there and grabbed myself, even if it was one piece of meat. I still would have grabbed myself a piece of meat, not the whole sandwich, but just open the sandwich up and grab me one or two pieces of meat. I don't care.
I think they probably, you know what, they probably would have taken his idol away from them then.
Yeah. Because, I mean, think back to Micronesia. Remember when James and Alexis got punished for, now granted this is a completely different thing, for sneaking into the production tent and getting Gatorade, I think it was, or something. I forget exactly what it was, but now granted this is a much smaller scale, that example of stealing a piece of meat, but we ended up seeing what happened directly after those two after that incident happened. Alexis and James went out back to back, bam, bam.
And to me, I think that was how can I say it? That was a bigger kind of situation that happened. Because, I mean, if it was me, I would have just gone back there, even if it was a little piece of meat. I would have grabbed two of them, and not the whole sandwich. Just a couple pieces of meat. I got a couple pieces. if they would have said we're going to take an advantage away from you, then I would have gone over and taken the whole damn sandwich. Say, I'll trade this sandwich.
That gives you an unfair advantage, though.
But they're taking away an unfair. They're taking away one of my advantages. So it's like, hey, if you're gonna take away something, being I took a little piece of meat. If you're gonna take that away, well, here, you can have it. I'll take the whole damn sandwich.
Yeah, I don't know. I personally wouldn't have done it. I still would have just gone for the advantage myself, but that's just me. So, I don't think we asked you this, Reggie. What are your thoughts on Emily and Kay? Or maybe we did ask you this, but what are your thoughts on Emily and Caleb potentially holding all the cards next week in a potential showdown between the OG Reba tribe and the OG Bello tribe?
I think Emily, I don't know. Caleb, you mean they vote together when they make the merge?
Yeah, because Bruce said in the next time on Survivor preview Bruce said to Caleb, you're the most powerful player right now. Like, you hold, basically telling him, you hold all of the cards this week.
See, I didn't understand why Bruce told him that. I was kind of confused. Because I didn't see anything in the previews that would show Caleb having all that power.
Well, it makes me think that when you also consider what Emily said, she said that she was going to either piss off either the original Bello tribe or the original Reba tribe. And I'm wondering if that's a little bit of a teaser to, okay, now that she's gone and done this, her and Caleb are basically going to hold all the cards as far as to who goes home at the mergatory here. She'll be, they'll be the deciding votes, essentially.
Yeah, I don't know. Because we're going to have to wait and see how that plays out.
I'm totally stumped. I'm totally just stumped on that one, Steve. Come back to me next week.
Yeah, the thing is that did it say next week on Survivor or does it say this season on Survivor?
No, it didn't say this season. It was a preview for next week.
Okay. Then they must have a double next week.
I mean, that's one way that Jim's information would be true, is that technically it isn't the merge, so it is technically pre-merge. Even though they are technically one group, they don't get their merge buffs until they last pass this next vote. So I assume it would be possible that maybe perhaps Sifu and Jemiah, if they're to be pre-merge, that they're both voted out in a potential double. But wouldn't you think that if it was going to be a double, that it would have been teased this week?
Yeah. Yep. Yeah, I don't know.
And
I think
the way it was teased like as if it's just going to be a regular boot.
Yeah, I don't know. I guess we'll have to wait and see. Oops.
Yeah,
we just have to wait and see.
It's definitely something that we're gonna have to wait and see on. Obviously, next week I think it'll be day 14. I think for the next boot. And I'm doing a quick look at the numbers. They actually their ratings actually went up slightly this week, so they gained viewers for this week, up by about 100,000 viewers, I think it is. Also. Well, actually, no. I can't really ask this because it was, it's plain and simple. Austin had to choose to either use his idol at that tribal or not use the idol like he did, and end up also having to use the goodwill advantage. So basically, Austin did what he should have done. Anyways. Let me see. Oh yeah, that's another thing. Another thing too, we were talking about Reggie. What do you think, because obviously you saw, I assume you saw what was posted in Mods Only earlier today.
Oh, with Eliza or Liz, how do you pronounce her name?
Right, Eliza.
Eliza.
Yeah.
That, mm-hmm. Yeah, that information that was posted. If somebody were to make merge and then get voted out, that wouldn't that technically make them the first member of the jury? Because they have 13 left. They have 13 left. After this next boot, it would be 12. So that would be a jury of 9 with a final 3, unless they're going to do a jury of 8 again.
Okay, who is that lady anyway?
Eliza, she was on Survivor.
Yeah, she was on Survivor. I think it was the season that it was Vanuatu. She was on Survivor Vanuatu, and she was also on Fans versus Favorites, Micronesia.
Well,
she was the one. She was the one
who
said. She was the one who said it's a fucking stick. When she was presented with something that somebody claimed was an idol, and then she said the infamous, it's a fucking stick line.
I think she needs to start joining the, you know, podcast so that she gets the stuff from Jim's mouth, because her or Jim, I'm believing Jim. No way. No, don't even try to change my mind, Eliza. You're wrong.
Well, Jim speaks with her almost every day, and not to mention she's pretty busy. You know, she's an attorney or some sort of law profession in New York. So, I mean, she's pretty busy to begin with.
Oh, I'm sure
she was even gonna.
Go ahead.
She was even campaigning to be the DA.
Oh,
in
yeah.
New York. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I appreciate her intelligence, but still, she needs to listen to Jim more. He's the godfather. I believe Jim. I like his predictions better because I was right about Karua and D. Didn't have a clue.
So, I mean, if the information holds up, that would mean that we would have a jury of 8.
That's kind of a lot of jury, isn't it?
Unless Sifu is voted out pre-merge, but yet we have seen it before where somebody voted out pre-merge ends up joining the jury. I mean, it happened on Heroes versus Villains when Coach and Courtney were voted out pre-merge, and yet they ended up making the jury. So, you know, we have seen it before, but... it's weird with the edit, because I mean even going back to what we talked about earlier with the confessionals, that the edit points to Sifu and Jamaya being the next two booths, but yet the edit is saying, or the confessional count is saying something completely different.
I don't know.
So,
things that make you go, hmm. Kitty,
yeah,
come here, Sergeant.
It really does make you wonder that maybe perhaps I mean, who knows?
Hang on a minute. I got to call my cat. Or is that yours, Melissa?
It's not mine.
Sarky.
Mine's all snuggled up with her daddy.
Okay. Let me put it on mute, and I've got to, I don't know what's wrong. Sometimes I get behind the washer and dryer, and she forgets she can get out.
And you know what's weird? I'm sort of thinking more now that Bruce, that whole entire I don't know what you guys think, but I'm almost thinking now even more that whole entire Bruce feud with Keturah is basically Keturah's like, I need to get rid of you so badly, but yet I have to keep you because you're a number at this point. And it almost seems like it's kind of feeling that way right now. That Bruce, for as annoying as he is, he's going to be loyal to the original Bello tribe. And that's a good thing for somebody like Keturah.
It's good night.
So, I mean, what are your thoughts on that, Melissa? Because we did get to see another chapter of the Bruce and Keturah feud this week. Is this just are you seeing the same thing I'm seeing, that it could end up being that she actually needs him, even though she flat out despises him?
No, I think she's going to get him out as soon as she possibly can. Yep.
And I don't know. You know, the edit, just this whole season, just when you think that you know what you're watching, it's been all over the place, essentially. What are your thoughts, JB, when it comes to the whole feud between Keturah and Bruce? I mean, could it end up being that Keturah actually needs Bruce down the line here with the merge coming?
I think it's more words that are said back and forth. I don't really think that it's a feud, so to speak. I just think that it's just something for her to let off steam. That's what I get out of it.
I mean, I don't know, because it almost seems more increasing that she flat out despises him. You know, I don't know.
I think she'll get rid of him as soon as she can.
But when you think about it, Melissa, though, if this is going to potentially go down tribal lines with the post merge, if this is really going to actually go down tribal lines, Reba versus Bello with Lulu in the middle, she's going to need every original Bello member that she can have.
I don't think she cares.
Well, that's not smart. I mean, that's not smart thinking on her part, then.
Well, if things go down the way I think they go down, it really doesn't matter. I just do not see I don't see where she tries to keep him.
Reggie, what about you? What do you think on this matter? Do you think that the whole Bruce and Katara feud that's going on right now, could it actually be that Katara ultimately ends up needing to keep Bruce in this whole potential battle between Reba and Bello?
No. I think she wants to get him out of her sight as soon as possible.
Mm-hmm.
I really do. I don't think she gives a rat's patootie about maybe needing him down the line. She is not thinking that far ahead.
Damn. Well, I'll tell you one thing. You know, she could choose to get rid of him at the first opportunity that she sees, but I think it would be bad. I think it would be bad strategy on her part, especially if she, you know, if this is going to go down tribal line. I mean, the Reba tribe better be so damn low on numbers that Bello can afford to drop somebody like Bruce.
Yeah,
go ahead.
And you know what? If it's what you say it is, okay. Never mind. I think that if it's what we think it is, apparently Bruce will make merge. Okay. And if it goes down where Caleb and Emily have anything to say about it, Emily doesn't much like Bruce either. So that could be a deciding thing.
Yeah, possibly. It could be a deciding factor. I mean, we did see her hatred for him earlier this season, and you know, obviously the whole Katara thing has been an ongoing factor. I tend to believe that we're probably going to see both Caleb and Emily side with Bello, especially with Emily expressing doubt about Drew last night like she did. You know, it's like she has a really good connection with Austin, but Drew is literally the one person that is causing her to be really hesitant about even working with the two of them.
Because she thought Drew was lying to her.
Yeah.
But he really wasn't.
Yeah, but you know how Emily is, based off of everything that we've been shown of her this season.
Well, let's just put it this way. She ended up voting Brando out, you know, and keeping Drew, so she had that opportunity.
Yeah. Yeah, she definitely had that opportunity. That's for sure.
So
you know, part of the thing that does make me think that the whole Bruce Katara drama is going to carry out at least a little bit more is because it kind of seems like they're slowly building up to where, like, Caleb is now starting to realize how demanding Bruce is getting, And so far, none of the other original Bellows are seeing it except for Keturah. So maybe perhaps that whole thing just keeps building up until all of the original Bellow members get on the same page with Keturah. And finally get sick and tired of his ass. Potentially. I'll tell you one thing. I hope I can get through tomorrow night's podcast without potentially falling asleep talking about the double with how easy it was tonight.
Well, actually, how boring this week was.
Well, exactly that. You know, that's
but
what
anyway,
I think too, with how boring it was.
Mhm. I mean, there were a few highlights, but we'll see. Anyway.
Yeah.
What else?
I mean, I think we've almost covered pretty much everything, haven't we?
For the most part, yeah. Mm-hmm.
I mean, hell, I don't know what else we could talk about moving forward, because obviously Jim's not on here. And obviously, I mean, we could talk about the final three, but I don't know. I don't think he wants that revealed on the podcast just yet.
I think it's something that he would want to reveal himself.
Right,
mm-hmm.
Exactly. It's probably something he would want to reveal himself. But that reminds me, I do actually have to get going with that banner, officially. I have the pictures, I just have to put them all together, essentially. But yeah, you know, yeah, this is really what sucks about this is the fact that, you know, we've basically covered practically everything about this week's episode, and oh, they did do one. I guess they did a deleted scene about Sifu's past. Apparently, that they gave him personal content about how he was adopted because his biological mother had to give him up due to her addiction.
Wow!
And that apparently he used Tai Chi growing up as a way to get him back on track.
Well, if I remember correctly, he said something about being bullied.
That's right.
Was it him? Maybe I have him confused with somebody else. But I thought that was part of a story.
No, that's right. He did say something. I think it was in the premiere episode, actually. When he had, whenever he had that time to talk.
Hmm.